Hello and welcome back to Ask a Monk. Today I'll be answering a question in regards to physical exercise and whether it is important is it proper to give up physical exercise and concern about the body's well-being and health and welfare, or is it important for us to look after the body and therefore important for us to engage in physical exercise? I think basically this is the question. What role does physical exercise play in the life of, say, an enlightened being, to put it one way? I think I have a pretty definite answer on this, and that is that it doesn't play any part. The idea of outright physical exercise seems to me a little bit silly, really, as I think it does for anyone who has taken up a lifestyle where we eat food simply enough to live. And this may seem a little bit odd for most people, because most of us think that that's how we eat. We all eat simply enough to live, but really we don't. I think in general we eat far more than is necessary to live, but the amount that we eat is generally necessary to keep up our lifestyles, which tend to include things like physical exercise, physical exertion, and a lot of mental stress, a lot of emotional stress, and so on. And so as a result of that, the food is barely adequate. Now, for many people, the food is in fact is far too much. There are, you know, people who become obese or who get sicknesses because of the fact that they're eating beyond their needs and their requirements. But even for those people who are eating enough and what seems to be enough to live by, it means enough to live that lifestyle by, a lifestyle of one who is, you know, well built and has a good shape. I remember thinking how silly it was the first time I thought of this question, when one of the meditators, he became a monk, and I think after he was a monk, he was talking about how as a monk he felt kind of sad that he couldn't do the same things he did as a layperson. He said when he was meditating as a layperson in our monastery, this was in Wat Doi Suthep in Chiang Mai, Thailand, every day he would go running, I think, or jogging down the steps, and this is a very large staircase, 1,000 steps or something, and then jogging all the way back up every day. And I said, why would you do that? He said, you know, I can't do that now. I said, well, why would you do that? He said, I wanted to keep in shape. And it just struck me as so odd. I think it's something that most people wouldn't find funny, but I found it incredibly funny, and I said to him, what shape? What shape do you want to be in? A square shape? A round shape? You know, a triangle shape? Is there some specific shape that you want to keep in? And you know, it's obvious we understand this expression and what it means, but if you think about it, it really is meaningless. I mean, what's the difference between this shape and that shape? The obvious answer being that our attachment to the body leads us to wish for it to be in a certain shape, and our attachment to sensual pleasure and romance and so on leads us to want to have a body that is attractive to others as well. And this is the only reason for wanting to be in a certain shape. This is one part of the argument, but the claim that people make is that this is necessary for your physical well-being. Well, as I said, it's necessary if you want to eat the amount of food that you're eating. If a person eats a lot of food, then yes, it will be necessary, and it will be, you know, they go hand in hand. If a person wants to exercise and keep in good shape, then they have to eat a lot. If a person wants to eat a lot and wants to eat rich foods and wants to eat all day, as you know, monks and meditators, we only eat once in the morning, so it seems really ridiculous to consider doing any real exercise. But if you want to eat a lot, and if you have a lifestyle where you eat three times a day or four times a day, or know, to have all sorts of snacks and so on, then yeah, you really need to exercise because your body is being polluted by all of these toxins and excess of even excess of good things. So it's really only, in short, it's really only because of our lifestyle that we think that somehow it's going to, exercise is going to be somehow necessary or a part of our lives. If you're meditating, and especially if you're doing, say, walking meditation or just being mindful in your daily life and doing all your activities with mindfulness, then your body will be in such a state that the blood is able to flow and the digestive system is able to work properly, and you'll find it incredible how healthy you are and how little sickness you have in the body, that your body is fit. I know monks that are 80, 90 years old and still, you know, quite fit and able because they're also good meditators, and because of their meditation practice, they're able to keep themselves in good shape. Or in a good physical condition. I think there's room for physical exercise if you're sick or if your body is out of its ordinary condition. It might be a necessary part of your rehabilitation to undergo exercise, even if a person is obese. You know, obesity can be a real problem because it can lead to high blood pressure, it can lead to whatever, high cholesterol, I don't know what exactly. There are a lot of sicknesses, diabetes and so on, comes from obesity. So in that case, it might be necessary and advisable for you to undertake this sort of thing temporarily while you're overcoming your condition, and at the same time undertaking a more reasonable lifestyle, because ultimately that's what's the most important. Taking care of your body means not putting things into it that are going to pollute it, that are going to make it unhealthy, because it's like a car. You have to be careful the gas, and you have to make sure you have high quality gasoline and engine oil all the time and so on, and that you take care of it. Taking care of your body is far more important than something like exercise. And in fact, exercise can have the effect of weakening the body or stressing the body. In some sense. I mean, people say that it's good for cardiovascular health if you do jogging or so on. And I don't know if I would exactly dispute that, but I do know that a person who meditates doesn't have a problem with cardiovascular health, doesn't have a problem with digestive health, doesn't have a problem with obesity and so on, if they're undertaking meditation and the meditator's lifestyle. I mean, we can all eat. Most of us can eat a lot less. I can't, because I eat very little as it is. I eat just enough to live. And I've come to realize that that's really a proper way to live, is just enough that if I didn't eat this much, it would be difficult for me to walk up the stairs every day. But if I eat this much, then okay, I can walk up the stairs and I can walk around and I can have energy to teach and energy to do this and that and energy to do walking meditation. And that's enough for me. If I eat more, then I become actually quite lethargic, and you feel unhealthy, having gotten used to this lifestyle of eating just enough to survive. And one final note is that in regards to this idea that certain exercises might be important to maintain a certain level of physical health, is that I wouldn't really take that as a very good excuse. I mean, I would say in that case, if people thought that somehow their health was going to be affected if they didn't exercise, their diet was okay, but they still felt that cardiovascular health or this health or some kind of system in the body would be benefited by exercise of some sort, I would give the same answer as I give to people who ask whether yoga is a good idea. Stretching is a good idea. Some people will say yoga is a spiritual practice, and then I've given an answer that if it's a spiritual practice, which it should be considered, then you're following that spiritual path, and I don't think it's the same spiritual path as the Buddha taught. But if you're just undertaking yoga for the purpose of stretching, then what you're actually getting involved in is this attachment to the body, which I think is part of this question in regards to exercising. is that if it becomes an important part of your life that your body should be in a healthy condition, and so therefore you go out of your way to do things simply for the purpose of keeping the body in a heightened state of health or in some perfectly healthy state, then you're really missing a part of the Buddha's teaching, that is the physical body is not going to last forever. And our attachment to the physical body is only going to cause us suffering, because eventually it's going to break and it's going to fail and break down. Eventually we're going to have to let it go. So if it comes to just doing the wise things that keep your body healthy, like eating right and making movements, like doing the walking meditation, not simply sitting and lying down all day, but actually walking, doing some simple walking to keep the body moving, then there's really no problem. When it comes to doing something like intentional stretching, like yoga and stretching yourself out, then it seems to me more in the line of the non-acceptance of the current state of the body, where if you have aches and pains, instead of coming to accept and bear with and eventually really overcome these states, you try to work your way out of them. You try to get yourself into a state where those experiences don't arise. The same goes with someone who wants to do jogging because they say, I feel great after I jog, and I feel great when I build up my muscles, and I feel great, and so on. And this freedom from any kind of sickness. So another example is people who, instead of just eating ordinary food, they have very specialized diets because they know this is good for you. And I know quite a few people like this I've known people who have taken these very special diets, and then a couple of them died of cancer. Three people I know of that all died of cancer. So, you know, in the end, it wasn't really of any benefit to them at all. I mean, you could say in some sense it gave them pleasure and it gave them a sense of health and well-being, but in the end that only became a disadvantage to them, because when they're dying of cancer, they have to see the opposite effect, that regardless of what they do, their body is deteriorating. And that's really the nature of reality. So we should not be overly concerned with our diet, be overly concerned with our health. We should try to minimize the impact that these things have on our lives, not eating too much, not working out really at all. Unless it's, say, necessary for your job. And of course, a lot of this is more inclined towards the lifestyle of a monk. If you're living in your life, I mean, I'm not saying it's unethical to do physical exercise. I'm just saying my advice as a monk living in the forest, in a cave, is that it's not really an important part of our lives. And if we're looking to go further on this path, we really should work towards giving it up and giving up all the things that surround exercise and physical health and so on. I've often mentioned, just as a final parting note, food for thought, that it would be really interesting, I think, to get some sort of sickness. I think even now that if I had cancer, that would be a really unique experience to have. People who are always trying to avoid these things are really missing the point and missing out on something quite incredible. You know, the experience of to die of cancer would, I think, be an incredible chance and opportunity for us to come to understand the nature of reality, that it's not what we think it is. It's not this wonderful body and how we can make it strong and so on. It's actually quite fluid and uncertain and changing, and it's quite dynamic. You could be dead tomorrow. It's not certain. So if you're not able to experience the whole range of reality, the whole range of experience, then you're really going to get stuck and fall into suffering. We should try to condition ourselves out of this, or take us out of this conditioning, so that we are in a condition to accept the whole range of experience, which includes sickness, which includes old age, which includes death. And if we can do that, then, you know, where could we be born? Where could we arise? Where could we go? What could we meet with? that would ever give us problems, that would ever cause us stress and suffering. If we can just come to accept things as they are and to interact with reality rather than react to it and just be, then there's really not much that could ever cause us any sort of difficulty or suffering. So hope that helps. You know, as usual, I know there are going to be people who disagree and get all up in arms about this, but oh well, that's to each their own. This is my ask a monk, so you've asked me, this is my answer. All the best.